Hello and welcome to Once Upon a Time in the Mutant. I'm Barney Black.
And I'm Dunks.
I don't know why I keep saying Barney Black. I'm just going to say Barney. Fuck's sake.
Barney Black. Say Barney Black.
Barney Black. Hello and welcome to Once Upon a Time in the Mutant. I'm Barney.
And I'm Dunks.
And this is, I think this is episode 26 of our podcasts.
Yes.
About life and times in Mutant.
That's it.
And this one has been a long time in the edit. We met these three chaps in May, and we had the pleasure of spending 4 hours with them.
Yeah, but you've been busy. We've been busy. We've been busy with Mutant and the podcast.
Absolutely.
Hence the delay.
Absolutely. And it's about 11 minutes into what you hear before we actually introduce who we're sitting with talking.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of the podcast that we do. We don't have an official start. It just happens with the people that we're sitting having a blather with.
Yeah.
And this one was hosted by your fine self.
Yeah, it was in my kitchen area here, so it's a bit of an open space, so you can hear. And we prepared a wee high tea. It was like a wee high tea for the boys, sausage rolls and biscuits and cakes and soup and stuff. So you can hear a wee bit of clanking and clinking.
Yeah, you hear the cups
and saucers.
It was all very civilised.
So, yeah, but forgive the kind of, the ambient.
Yeah, the background noises.
Background
the natural noises. It's live. What we do is live. We try to keep
it as real as possible, don't we?
Yeah,
exactly. So they were well fed and watered.
Absolutely. And like I said, we were with them for about 4 hours. And this episode is about 2.25 hours in length.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a listen to it since the edit, and I think it's one of our best. I think it's got so many different stories. I know that's bold, eh?
Let's not upset anybody. You know, come on. It's a topper.
It's another good one. And should we say who's in? We will do, eh? We'll let people know who they're going to hear the voices of.
Yeah.
We've actually put the trailers out already. So we've got Tony Quinn, Steve McKechnie, and Mark Sykes-Sandeman.
Yeah. A couple of years older than me, but kind of grew up on top of each other. Mark was across the road. He moved in there early, mid-70s from around the corner. Steve stayed right across the back for me in Malvina. And Tony was next close to me. I was 34 and he was 36. So so I've known the three of them most of my life, and they're three very good friends of each other.
Aye. And I think that comes through right from the start.
Absolutely.
Their memories go all the way back to when they were very young boys.
Aye.
And the things that they remember about each other, even reminding each other of as well, was quite special to just to be there, just to hear them reminisce, which is what, again, this podcast's all about. One significant feature, we found the five-bedroom houses.
Yes, yes, yeah, we've been looking for that since we started.
So,
the elusive five-bedroomed.
We get so we get to hear about that, which is great. It isn't a figment of our imagination.
Yeah.
They were for real.
Yeah, they did exist.
And it touches on a lot of the other topics which people have heard about in previous podcasts. We hear about the school days. We touch on things about immigration,
for friendships, community,
the strength of the community for them,
open spaces to play.
Yeah,
you know, being out all day.
Yeah,
mum and dad not knowing where you are.
No worrying
about where you are. So all that, it's all that and more actually in this.
Yeah, it's 2 hours. I think you'll enjoy this as much as you've enjoyed the rest. There's some funny moments and some laugh out loud quips which get made, which can only be done in a natural friendship, just the way that the three guys bounce off each other.
Off each other. Yeah, it was just natural and funny. You know, so many funny stories and some poignant stuff too, you know. Some real kind of, nothing, it's not heavy, but there's some real stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not all romance and happy nostalgia. There are references to other things, which, again, I think just helps share the experiences of growing up in a place like Mutant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Believe it or not, we'll let the listeners
tune
in and listen to what we've put on offer for them. So, happy listening.
Enjoy.
I was asked one of the neighbours, Mrs. Robertson, I think it was, if I'll go buy a fag. So I'd probably be about 5 or 6. Give me a £20 note, tell me to keep the change. I thought I was rich as fuck.
And then you really mean that.
Maybe about an hour or two later,
it's supposed
to dawn on her, getting what she'd done.
I was there.
Can the big war for you and Tony, the big cul-de-sac was over, kind of Cram Belt side?
Yeah, Granny's side
in there. Aye. If you have the right in the bottom, there's an old woman there, she used to work beside my ma. Chris, what was her name? It's kind of like I could bind her name right up till right now. Anyway. What's her fucking name now? This is so great. Belle.
Sorry.
She was only the first time I've ever seen a woman.
I've got Steve.
With a fart machine. Did she roll down fart like? Aye. I was a young lady at the time, eh?
Where did Cramp stay then? I can't mind that.
Okay, where my block was.
Aye.
There was a bit of glass. He stayed.
Where was Greenstead?
Where,
Bill McNeil, that was her name.
Norrie.
Aye. Aye,
Bill McNeil.
For Norrie's
aye, yeah. Aye, Bill McNeil.
In that triangle, across the road to us.
Aye. Opposite for you.
But she stayed down at the bottom. There's somebody that they grabbed across there.
So Barney, Tony stayed, I was 34. Yeah, yeah. Tony was next close to me, 36. Steve was over the back and Mohina. Yeah, yeah. Practically directly over the back, and Mark was across the street from me.
Aye, but before that, I stayed at number 19, further round.
19 is the Gardens?
Yes.
The Bustle Triangle.
Aye.
Up next to where Gary Williams and the Hills and that stayed?
Aye, out in his door. Well, sorry, it was close. Yeah. But I was born and bred there.
Aye, I didn't know that.
Aye, I was born in the mother's bedroom. And that's how there was one time Steve Hill put a thing up saying, aye, the triangle belonged to 17. Mm-hmm. And I had put Barry, no, it didn't, it belonged to 19.
Well, we had a triangle, obviously, and a triangle across the road. There was one up, just up past the phone box, and then the one across year 17, 19. Yeah. And I was asking Brian MacArthur, triangles were unique to Muirton, I think, with like grass and trees.
Aye. Three trees or two trees. Because where we stayed 19, there was one over the road for that as well, where, what's her name stayed? Maria, is it Sinclair? No, the old one had the paper round Sunday morning.
Oh, right here.
Christy Graham.
Aye, yeah. Because what's his, Andy Williams stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Taylor. And Chalmers. Aye. Kevin Chalmers.
The Mackay stayed there, yeah. Norrie Mackay.
Aye, he stayed.
The next day?
No, over the road in the corner.
All right.
He stayed in the corner.
Oh, aye, yeah.
Because Ozzy Pearson had stayed there.
Oz, my sister's back seen him.
I know you see that, man.
Where did they stay then, Oz and Gina?
In the corner. Give the Eatons. Can you see me? Well, they sort of stayed there, right? Over there, right, sort of in the corner.
Aye.
I'll go that way. Mm-hmm. It's better going that way instead of going that way.
Aye.
They stayed in there.
Right.
Because at the bottom there was Mackay's, then Stan Muir.
Aye.
Then Ozzy Pearson.
Right.
But I can't remember if he was at the other side.
Some you'll remember.
Danny Burnham.
Because next close to that was Eddie Watt and the Devlins.
Ah, but you're coming up the street.
Eddie was doing the side of the church, was he not?
Aye, but that's what I'm saying, the close next to them.
Eddie stayed with me, flooded diagonally.
Did they? Right, so he ended up across from the church.
Aye, the kind of two closes in Balousie Street, near the only existing closes.
Aye.
Apart from where Scott Campbell's.
Yeah.
Because they're
the Asda.
Yeah.
That's where
they moved.
The what? Stayed in before in the four block.
They stayed in the corner block, right next
I
mean, to
I know
where
they stayed in that middle.
Going flat down the floor, looking out.
Yeah, but where did they stay before? You said they moved
going
the diagonal.
Down, going down St. Stephen's Lane.
Yeah, and then to there, but where was the first place then?
That was it. That was where they stayed at first,
St.
Stephen's Lane.
So where did they move to?
Right diagonally across into Balowski Street.
Right, and the blocks is still there?
Aye, the four blocks. Because
obviously when
Stuart's old man stayed there.
Aye, yeah.
Aye, across the road there.
Aye.
And did you know, right, actually when we were growing in Newton, right, there's three or four famous names stayed there.
Apart from Wayne, Mike.
I'm talking about the other side.
Aye, I came. There was one. Well, Bob Ireland, Robert Ireland.
There was Jackie Stewart.
Oh, right, okay.
Right?
Right, okay. Aye, I thought you meant real folk. I thought they were real folk.
No, but that's right. But Jackie Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Graham Hill.
That's right.
Never stayed next door each other. And then up the street a bit, there was a James Bond. Old Mrs. Bond.
Mm-hmm.
But her grandson was James Bond. And I think around in Malvina was a Steve McQueen.
Might have been, I had a cousin Steve McQueen too.
Aye.
Was there no Anthony Quinn?
There was an Anthony Quinn.
Yeah,
there's
no, sorry. Was and it was kind of strange because the two of them stood next door to each other.
Yeah.
Old Jackie. He was a... If you can picture, mind the... programmes on the telly, How.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of old boy with the glasses and the pipe.
Aye.
If you can imagine what he looked like.
Jack Hargreaves.
Old Jackie looked like him.
What? Right at the back.
That, aye.
Yeah.
That aye. Did that country thing as well.
Aye. Yeah.
Got a tune in my head.
It's funny you mentioned Bob Ireland because my wife's father-in-law, Bobby, he ended up working in that shop. He ended up owning that shop for Bob Ireland. That was something like his first father-in-law. That was his shop, the original Bob Ireland's. And then when Pinkett must have passed over, young Bobby, who married the daughter, took over that shop. But I can never remember him in that shop.
Mm-hmm.
We were ever in it, but Dickie must have been.
We were
in just when they noticed it.
Mm. But we speak about it a lot because Robert Ireland was a Saints player.
Saints Rangers player.
We always thought, fucking how many times do we hate
Bob Ireland?
We always thought it was Bob Ireland's.
Aye.
But it was actually Robert Ireland, Bob Ireland.
Robert Ireland.
You know, but it was just, for us it was Bob Ireland's. 1-1. Never, and it's only in the last year or something that we found out that it's actually Robert Ireland, you know.
Wow.
Because all the way back to the 1920s, 30s, I'm sure it does.
What, that shot? Him.
Getting
yeah,
him.
Yeah, must do.
And, well, the other thing we found out was it was a barber's on one half.
Aye.
And a grocer's on the other. Do you remember that?
No.
Just the way you said that, it sounded like you didn't
remember.
No, just aye. It was, Tommy Campbell that told us about that.
Uh-huh.
He remembered it as a barber's in one half.
Uh-huh.
Before it became.
Like, mind you could go in either door, eh?
That's right.
It was more like the grocers kind of slicing the meat and stuff on the right hand side. It was more like the sweets and stuff on the.
I feel like nowadays you could get loads of stuff in your pockets.
I know that's where it's come up, it's all about local folk going about and on. I just thought yesterday, Jimmy Muller.
The van.
Aye. Jimmy Muller and his laddies going about selling things. But my uncle was the butcher. He used to go through in the butcher's van.
Aye.
And the butcher was in the Allen Bank.
Aye. And they drove in and did the schemes.
Aye. Around the same time as Jimmy Muller came in as well, eh?
So we've spoken to Robin Rennie, who was Mr. Softy.
Oh, yeah.
We've done a podcast with him. It's really funny. Some of the stories, man.
Robin's Isis.
But he was a Mr. Softy.
Mr. Softy.
He said he worked with Renato's first.
Aye.
Did Newton. And then he did, it was Mr. Sophie.
And Ingalls.
Aye, that's right. The van that you stepped onto in the back.
Yeah.
Because you walked in the back. And I'd like, it was like, you know, kind of Jimmy Mars, you walked into it.
Aye.
Well, Ingalls was, the door was,
it was
the back end of
the
door.
Was the van.
And you just stepped into it. And there was a counter on the front, you know?
But what was the ball boy called?
Piccolino.
The wee van.
Piccolino, aye.
Ricky Damiani.
That's that what I'm talking about. No, I mentioned it. The wee van.
Aye, the wee scooter van.
Aye, it was good. The bicycles was like homemade.
Aye. That was a homemade bike. It was like an old butcher's bike.
Homemade toffee onions.
puff candy.
Aye, he made that in his.
Toffee apples.
He was mad for the bingo.
I heard that.
Ricky.
Ricky Damiani. What was his full name?
Ricky Damiani.
So why was he called Piccolino then?
I was just Piccolino's.
Easy to say.
Yeah. Easy to say. I don't know what it means. I know Pico means small Piccolino. I'm not really sure.
So maybe it was a nickname, like a proper, proper nickname or something, you know.
Before we go much further, will we say who's here?
Aye.
Or you can say who's here.
Aye.
Oh, yeah, just dawned on me that we're actually recording.
So,
that's the whole point. But just going in was who you are for the listeners, what close you lived in, and if you lived in a couple of closes, you can obviously share that. When you moved or were born in Muirton, and then we'll just crack on through that.
Me. Yeah. Okay, I'm Steve McKechnie. I'm the youngest of the McKechnie clan. I've lived in 37D, Malvina Place. We flitted from Rutherland Avenue when I was 6 months. So, probably beginning of late 63, early 64, we moved in there.
One of the biggest houses in Europe,
yeah. We moved to North Wales in 1985. We had the five bedroom.
I've spoken to you about this before. This elusive five bedroom house.
You had it. What are you doing in the Spencey's house? I'm not in the Spencey's. This is my bed. Prove it then. Right. You used to run through one bedroom into the other. Right, here I am. You ran through the coast. No, I didn't.
So the other one must have been a five opposite as well.
Well, the Spencers next door to us.
I don't know if it was.
They had three bedrooms. We had five bedrooms because we stole one of theirs in the planning of it all. Under their roof space was my bedroom.
Because you kind of went in the front door, eh? Went in the door.
Aye.
And there, there'd be another door went back that way. Your bedroom went there, and your bedroom went there. And for the front door, there'd be another one went.
You're basically going back on yourself.
The original letters, the council,
we went to them in the archives about the houses that were getting built, the amount of three bedroom, four bedrooms, and five bedrooms. And Barney and I were like, Were you ever in a five bedroom house? And we're like, no. And we asked loads of folk, and it was Nicky Mulligan.
Nicky Mulligan moved next door to us when Spencer's moved out.
So I'm going to explore that now because I'm dead interested in that. I don't know why, but so who was in your house? So
my family.
Yeah, your family, yeah.
Well, mum and dad. Max was the oldest. And John, and sister Catherine, and Dave and Mike, and me. Six of us. Next door it was the Spencers, they had four kids. Doing for them was the Greens who had eight or nine. And next door to them were the Blythes who had seven or eight. But there was, I think there was something like 24 children in one.
And that four block. Well, I can't even mind the Blythes, but I know all the other families.
Aye.
So what you see there? Aye, five bedroom house. But Nicky Mulligan, so we've spoken to Stevie Hill's mum, and we went and spoke with Maureen. So who was there? Was Maureen's sister Catherine.
Yeah.
I'll make another invoice. But the, her, Maureen McManaman's, Stevie Hill's and Graham's mum was a McManaman, and they lived around in, I think, was it 17 Naseley Place?
Place here,
but O'Manion's, I think O'Manion's moved into their house. And she says...
Near cousins of mine.
O'Manion's, are they? I see, this is brilliant. There was 40 kids in that four block. We the McManamans, the Mulligans, and there was another two families. And she says there was at least 40 kids in that four block. Isn't that amazing, mate? No, we never had a shot at a pal to play with.
No. So, three sets of bunk beds in each bedroom.
And to your left?
Mark Sandyman. People know me as Sykes. Born and bred. In 19E Ainsley Gardens. Block of six. Was there till, 1974, I think it was. Then moved round the corner to 29C.
C.
No, D. 29D.
D.
A's in the
C.
Left.
B.
No.
C's
in the right.
C.
C. That was, another six folk family story in that walk. Aye. Crazy times.
Crazy times.
And who was in your house?
Me. Well, the first house was mum, my dad, me and my sister. And then the young brother came along. That's how we had to move.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only allowed to stay in one bedroom until I think it was 11. 10, 11, then we moved around the corner. And that was a three bedroom.
Mm.
A three bedroom.
Yeah.
Aye, two, one in the back. And that was close to Harry Conway Estate.
That's right,
Harry.
So you're close, because that's across the road for me, is the Hastings. And the Vellas came later though, but and then there was Geoffrey Blackley's granny.
Aye, Mrs. Johnson.
Mrs. Johnson. And can you remember her dog?
Corgi.
Chase this fucking living daylights with you. Peter the Corgi.
Peter the Corgi.
And we used to tease the shit out of your man. You'd go up, Peter, Peter! Okay, I'm running down these wee legs and we can barely move. And I remember one day that we must have been digging up the street, putting curves in or something, and I was like, Peter, Peter, Peter! And he came running down and I had to jump the where they were digging, jumped over the other side and then up the tree. And he fucking nipped my ankles, you know what I mean? That was the fun.
Where you thought it was above me? Sons or?
No, the Vitovics were in Eddie Watts close.
They were a little bit older. But there was two folk. I can't mind who was below us, but then the family come in, the two daughters. And
it was the Vellas.
Was it?
I think so, yeah. Leslie Vella. What was the boy's name?
Tommy.
And there was a younger sister.
It was all of him.
All right. Huh? Yeah.
His other brother as well. I was mind it was
not. From Leslie.
Ah.
James was the oldest.
James,
yes.
James. Yeah. James. I see Tommy now.
Tommy was a wee mod, wouldn't he?
Still got a school. To this day,
yeah.
Yeah.
When you know, like when you get married, or you're getting married, you show presents off. We're playing. Now, who was that kid in the boy? I don't know if it was you or no. Anyway, kicking up on the close. Then finally, there's a nice man trapping the door. He's the police. Going downstairs, I phoned the police. Your guys are
here. She was lucky she had a phone in the house.
Kicking the ball on the close. Oh, damn, my mother was mortified. Can't you always fuck me? Yeah,
I'm a legend. I think it took them to. I think. So the Vellas were late. That's what I remember, my take on it. I think it took them a wee while to settle into the rhythm of the street.
Yeah.
And by doing things like that, probably wouldn't endear themselves to the neighbours, you know. But
it's a great street. Aye. Great street, it's a great neighbours, eh?
Aye. My mother was remarried, eh? Because I remember they stayed in Malvina.
Right.
And the dad.
Right,
the two boys stayed with the dad.
Aye.
And I think the lassie stayed with the mum.
Yeah.
Our second husband, Vic. That's when Vela came in.
Vic Vela,
he worked with my mum and dad at the textiles.
So I've got more memories.
This man here. Yeah.
19. It's all flooding back.
To your left, Mark.
I'm 20 Quinn. Don't ask me the dates, but I moved to Newark in 36 Malvina Place. I was about six. Moved to Hunters. Lived there till primary six. Then we got a big flat all the way to the big city.
17 West of Hills Park, Cottage, Edinburgh.
17 West of Hills Park.
Still remember it.
Jesus Christ. How old were you then? You can remember that, man.
Well,
and then for Edinburgh, we went down south for a couple of years. And then back up, we ended up 36 into the place.
Into the Gardens.
Into the Gardens.
Next close to mine.
So 76 Malvina.
76 Malvina, yeah. Thank God you are here. See, the dementia started kicking.
The big mark behind you.
Okay. So who's the got blown up?
We
missed that. When we were lived in that close, the Mitchells were up
that's
top.
Right.
In the middle was my mum's cousin. What's her name again?
Wasn't
Debbie.
It?
Debbie was there. And then the other side, was it Mrs. Borer? The ground floor. Family in the middle, they got evicted. I can remember that first eviction. And up at the top, Canna Menkew was there. When we moved back to Burton, obviously me, mum and dad, Joanne, my big sister, wee sister Helen, and then of course the baby, the family, spoilt them, Danny. Still the favourite to this day. We had the wards.
He's everybody's favourite.
Make sure he hears us.
Annie Ward.
Annie Ward.
My sister's still in touch with her in Australia.
Lovely woman, Annie. And her man, was it Tommy? Tommy Ward or Johnny? Okay, I've never seen him.
For sure.
Next door, I think the Steels.
There was the Baines before then.
And was Tommy, I guess Tommy moved in. He's never out of jail, I think.
What are we talking about? Your first house or your second house? Or the second house,
next, then 36 Change the Guards, next to me.
Aye, then we had, who's that? Two guys.
Bratty,
aye.
Bratty. Willie and Jimmy, next door.
Santa Claus, you got the MBE for being Santa Claus. They wouldn't let him put his Santa Claus outfit on when he received the MBE. There was a big fuss about that.
Was upstairs.
So through the wall for me in your course was
is that a big boy?
It's Shiner.
Shiner,
the plumber.
Shiner stayed there.
Yeah, Shiner stayed there. Yeah.
I think it's Shiner.
Ken Shiner.
Oh,
it's
Ken
Shiner. Ask me about one of my people,
yeah.
Ah, lovely. Yeah, that's
right.
His brother was a tall guy,
and
he reminded me of Hen Broom.
He passed on.
No, but he must have had his brother. He looked like, he was tall and thin like Hen Broom, didn't he? Tall and thin guy. That must have been Shiner's brother, I'm sure.
Shiner more adopted?
I don't know.
I think because he was...
Stayed there for a long time.
He was Lanky's kind of uncle, babysitter, used to babysit, big Lanky. And Shiner done a lot of work for charity, for especially children's charities, days out for them and that.
Right.
And I think that was inspired because he was adopted himself.
I didn't know that.
And that's where his heart would leave. Helping kids that are going through the same upbringing as him.
Yeah.
Very charitable guy.
Lovely guy.
Chat to anybody.
I just remember that, like, the second time we stayed there in Newton, first time was great as well, but the second time, the surrounding, the families that lived in all the different courses, it was just a great time to be in Newton, eh? It was just brilliant. You could go for it. Especially every year, you could just go from house to house. The doors were always unlocked, didn't you? Didn't even need a carry, you just clubbed up.
You could leave your telly and your wife and your whole body at your front door at some point.
It was Lizzie Stutton.
Roomed in names the place.
It was place 32B. She stayed in.
Yep.
She'd lost her purse in the close. And it was all her father, everything, you know,
yeah,
for the whole week. For the
allowance,
and it was hitting, it was behind, it was right in the corner, so you couldn't even see it, eh? And been there, like, oh, must have been all day. Oh, I thought we were going nuts on here. We were causing that thunder. And it was everything. See, nowadays...
It'd be gone.
It'd
be a sign yet.
Well, the person though should just be the...
cash in a family allowance. That's what it's called. Is it family allowance?
Yeah, yeah. Because there's like a wee rent office, I think. Wee rent office as well.
Well, that's why I mind the shop in the corner of St. Stephen's Lane as a rent office. I don't remember that's a shop.
That's right. Pretty big.
Because even up the road, and the first place was off the walkways. There's the wee rent office in there. It's like,
yeah, that was the caretakers.
Ah, I think that was the rent office.
Green
hedge.
Yes.
Yeah. Right in the corner.
Yeah.
And there,
Carnegie and Ainsley.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. On the ball, you get sent round if the close
light
or something like that, you'd
say round. Seven,
it's off. So, as we've grown up, so you would have been St John's and St Columbus.
We all started.
Well, when you come back.
We all started primary school together at St Ninian's.
Right.
Well.
And then St John's.
Mm.
It was part of St John's, but.
The annex.
The annex.
The annex.
Yeah.
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 And our first teacher was a nun, Sister Frances. I can remember, kind of remember my first day. I really remember my second day at school really well, because I don't know if it's something to do with a bit OCD or whatever, but when I went into the classroom one second day, there was somebody sitting in my seat.
After one day you've got a seat.
One day, I knew that was my seat, and I got rid of it. I got my hands through the mat. And the teachers had to drag me off.
Put the seat in.
Got your seat.
Put
it there.
I think we were primary 1, 2, 3 there.
Then we did
it. And then we did it at St John's.
St John's.
The big school,
yeah. We'll be in the a girls' playground.
The first. Oh, then we
went to the... We weren't robust enough to...
Yeah.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah.
For the young ones, that's the
maybe 5 I went to
him. 5, 6 and 7, you were in the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my God, you got a hammer and worse off the lasses.
You didn't need the hoodies. That must have put you in the shape.
Ah, that must
have put you in the shape.
Prepare you for the
for the big show.
Then it went wrong in the school. When they'd been up there and had they been caught, it was all us lot that were fucking dragged in front of the headmaster there.
Aye.
You guys.
Aye, if someone made it do, it was the kids for Hunters in Milton, and like
they go
come in, like, McCormick, headmaster, come in.
Miners up,
right? McKechnie, Quinn, no so much sites. McLean, Reeves, what an Irish. Get to my office now. Was
there some truth in it though?
Well, I mind Big Seamus Dugan had a problem. Oh, can't go with that one.
Oh, all right. Right. Yeah, Joe listens to this.
You've got to remember one. I'm sure it was one.
What do you want, Stone?
Eh?
I'm sure it was the Holdock. Took
a... Sausage Rose.
Is this the same story?
And they done it in the police, in the prison, what would they be called? A protest.
Aye.
He took a dirty protest.
Well, aye. Seamus. Seamus. Please. Aye. The guy wiped his backside and sneered on the door handle of the cubicle. The next guy in was Seamus Dugan. His hand was covered. So he's up to McCormick's office. I'll look at this person, this is vile, this isn't this person. So we all got hold of, you know,
the usual
suspects. Right, who was it, you boy? Was it you, screaming in your face until you admitted it and that, man. And,
First time I've ever seen a dirty protest.
Ah, that was mental, that. And what I went for school was, I don't know if it was primary 6 or primary 7, and we were getting sex education.
Uh-huh.
And we all thought we knew what sex was, yeah. But we were going to be educated. Only theory, mind you. So we were getting now on Thursday, boys and girls, we're going to be learning sex education. Now, he's all getting older now, it's time to be mature and not be chairman of this. And so you're going to tell them, what are we going to tell them? Tell us, come on. So the day finally came in, we were in the gym hall and the projector was set up and there was a wee film set up. So we had the girls to the left, boys to the right. Eh? you do remember. So we're in there, the film starts, and there's this golden Labrador. Goldie has just had pups after a gestation period. That's where I know that word, gestation period. Yeah. After a gestation period of 9 weeks, the puppies came out of a hole between her legs, called a vagina. Sights. Mark, stand him and go to my office and wait there. That'll stick with me for life. Well, it has, Gern. 50 years later,
yeah, it's
still. But it was I didn't swallow all that, Catherine.
You went to gym, mate. Some of your kids never had fucking gym shorts or whatever.
Don't
you
remember
being
gym in
underwear?
Yeah, that's
right,
yeah.
Well, wait,
no. Yeah,
and if you did,
humiliate,
remember Miss Loudon?
Oh, aye.
Boulder Bell. Yeah. And Gary Cruikshanks, wouldn't he? There was a box, if you didn't, oh, I forgot my shorts, well, get a pair of shorts out of the box, and if they were lassie shorts, they stuck. Gary wasn't having it. Well, Boulder,
they were navy blue, weren't they?
Aye, put him across his knee and scalped his backside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is...
Aye.
Was it not?
Aye, with the belt here.
Was it not? Aye, that's what belt. You couldn't complain.
You want more belts?
Mm-hmm.
Just give me the belt, you want them. Put me the buckle.
Aye.
With the hands.
Well, when we were at the Northern District, because it's shut down, Balhousie now, but it was the Northern District, they were in an open day, and we were kind of involved in all that, and they're all moving up to Northmere in one school.
Yeah.
So, that probably turned into flats like Cali Road or something. But anyway, they had a bench shoot, didn't they, and they had all the fucking forms of torture, punishment, you know, they had all the belts, the doubles, the triples.
A carpet beater.
It's like a carpet beater. Fan dude.
That was draconian, wasn't it?
You know?
Aye.
But
it was
a big box.
From Brenner.
Ah, we used to get sent to Paul Brenner.
Aye. Yeah. With the two belts.
That was Miss Gowrie. I was never in Miss Gowrie's class, but she was a totally wee woman.
Aye, not your meal.
And if you were at, no, that was St. Columbus, so I know that was never there. But if you were any, sorry, yeah, if you were a sizeable bearing, you were, and you put your hand out, it was too high for Miss Gowrie to heat the belt, so she'd stand on a chair to get the extra leverage.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like, well, I'm trying to think who was tall and would get the belt. Maybe Bob.
John McCall.
McCall, he'd get the belt. In fact, I think it was maybe John McTelby, but she would stand on a chair But Miss Stewart and, well, the two Miss Stewarts, they would just send you to Paul Brennan.
Mm.
Chap. Come in.
Ahead.
No, he was.
He was dead.
He was a primary six teacher.
That's right.
And you just go in. Yes, what is it? Miss Stewart sent me to see you, son. What about? Oh, I don't know.
That's it.
Oh, she just says, go and see Mr. Brennan. How? What did you do? Nothing.
Two belts you had.
Mm-hmm.
One here. He kept it strapped
on his
shoulder.
That's
right, aye.
The one in the door, he went, aye, he just stood there.
Music teacher used to do that in the Northern. He had it under his tweed jacket.
He had a row.
Swines, eh?
Vicious.
When we were all playing football, was it great? You mind that?
You were never great. Like, never great. Ken, you got like three. Fucking grin and bear it. Like, fucking. Hours afterwards, and your hand would be swollen.
Yeah.
Your wrist.
Six and sevens, eh?
We'd go down to the Inch.
We were late
for football at dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's. And one day, it was like it was the end of the week, I don't know. But it was a draw, and next goal's the winner, right. So this goal wasn't coming. We met me back for 1 o'clock, and it was like 1:45. We're still trying to score this goal.
So
and who was it? Did they not send a couple of lasses down?
Oh, I can't remember.
I think they sent a couple of lasses down to see what was going on. These are all late. So we got back in the scale then.
There's a massive big corridor up the stairs, right? Yeah. Massive. And there was probably six, probably seven.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? Doing one went one way, Mr. Brennan, Mr. McCormack, went the other way.
The belts.
Each hand. One in each hand as you walked in back in the classroom.
That's a special technique, isn't it?
Oh.
I must be working on that.
Bastards.
Just lined us up and thrashed
us. No, as we walked back into the classroom, they were at the classroom door.
Bell you?
Aye.
Get straight to your desk.
Miss Stuart would give you the bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe she, I doubt she'd leave the or something. She
quite was. Quite a wee thing.
She became Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Right. Aye. She's my sister's.
Head.
Oh, we're in a clan.
A lot of.
Oh, no, I'm telling you,
but she never gave you the bell. So she'd either send you Pop down, but Pop was busy this day.
Trying to develop somebody else.
He had the two primary sixes, and so McCormick came at his office and he dealt with the primary sevens. Eh?
It'd be good old days, eh? Facing John's up to St. Columbus, but you said you didn't go to St. Columbus.
No. See, my. And no, here's the exact same story. Well, playing football when he should have been in at school, but at St. Columbus, when my oldest brother was there, they were playing football, and they got expelled for it. My brother was expelled.
They're expelled from St. John's?
No, for St. Columbus.
St. Columbus.
For playing football when he should have been in class. I don't know how that came about, but there was a few of them there was a few of them who were expelled.
Expelled.
The guy Drew Mellon, he got expelled.
Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, there's a few of them.
Did your folks just then make the decision after that?
My mum went to see, was it Ward?
The headmaster.
Yeah, yeah.
My mum went to see Mr. Ward. No, he was adamant. He was looking, and it was something to do with the teacher saying, I just do it to play football. And they weren't even meant to do that, but the teacher denied that they'd said that. Whatever, you know. So after that, my brother John was already at St. Columbus, but my sister was due to start St. Columbus that year. She got sent to the high school, and then 2 years after that, the grammar school opened. The high school moved to what we know as the grammar school. Up to Oak Bank.
Yeah.
And Dave started at the grammar school. He was the first year at the grammar. Mike was the year after, and then 2 years after that, I went to the grammar. Lost all my mates.
Yeah.
The only Catholic. You're a Catholic.
Could you have particular
listening
room
in this big intimidating school?
But then you picked up those other mates. It might not be mates.
Aye.
Because they're going to expel me too.
But then I met him Belmont Camp.
Belmont,
did you go to Belmont, Steve?
I just finished, my brother did, but I just finished just as I was hitting probably 7.
I met him over there. What scale are you at? St. John's.
Oh man.
So what was Belmont Camp? I probably had
that. I'm going to the grammar school.
You're for the old
big huts. Yeah, like if you look back, you like at the.
I don't.
Feel like the army and that the.
Yeah.
It was like big huts like
the,
that.
The horse huts.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know if it was a week, but was it a week? A week away being adventures and.
No, 2 weeks.
Two weeks?
Definitely 2 weeks.
I might go and visit
you. It's near.
No, Blair. Is it?
Beagle.
Beagle, alright.
Yeah, I've got to say
Beagle. It's just over Beagle, aren't
okay.
Ardla.
Yep.
Like a.
Aye, but they're going to. That's going to be an expulsion.
For where?
For Columbus.
Huh?
sent me him. I was, what age was I? 13? Can't be 12, must be 13. Because I'd bump off.
Ah.
No, honestly, they were, it's they sent me him.
Well, you should have been walking about in your bum.
Anyway, I'm a bit.
Table, sorry, man.
Mum, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm going to spell off and then shave. Talking about. Right, let's go, match me around the school. What's going on here? The man's no shitting.
How old were you?
I was about 13.
Just him and you, but
I didn't know like the...
You see the beard, well, not beard, now you see the boys now at school.
Aye.
Full beards, and all quaffered and groomed.
She's like, can't see, he's just... It's just a girl. He's just a baby. No. That's the shave.
Well, I never got expelled, but I got... What's the other word?
You
get expelled, do you?
Suspended.
Suspended for a week. Me, Paul Malloy, and Bobby Milton.
How many of that?
Because we could do a Bell Sports Centre
all the time.
For some inter school thing we're on, Bell's A. And my money was tight in them days.
Mm-hmm.
Some cunt left a pound in my fucking pocket, eh? And I don't know how I managed to track down who it was, but somebody grasped him up anyway.
Me?
Because
I was at the same scale as him.
And then.
And I didn't leave.
Well, lunchtime.
It probably wasn't him.
Well, it was late in his life, anyway. So, me and Paul Malloy went into the school that day and asked who we could find this guy. Or they just kept pointing us in the right direction. They were prefects and that, he's walking there.
To the grammar school?
Grammar school, yeah.
Mm. I was Reeves.
Were you?
Yeah.
And then we went back, we've done the guy in, battered the guy, got a pound off and battered him. Left the school and then somebody grassed us up. But me and Bobby went back.
Me?
Bobby went back that night, and I was in the seconds. I think that's when we got caught here.
There was always little bits going between the grammar.
But it was the best people.
Aye.
We went swimming every day for a month.
I was caught in the middle of it, aye.
Mm-hmm.
My mates through the day were...
School guys.
Prodies. My mates after school were...
Car fucks.
The school I moved to the town.
Mm-hmm.
I had to walk from the town, well, Athol Crescent, up here. You can go do the big hill, just along there. Two or three times, because I was in St. Columbus, I got done in.
Aye.
For Gatsby Grammar School.
Yeah.
I hope you've caught up on Simpson.
Oh, a long, long time ago. But it was like, oh, what? But you're St. Columbus, you must support this and support that.
Yeah.
And but, they went down St. John's somewhere. You just done again.
But us growing up, I never saw you as Catholics. I just saw you as my neighbours, my pals. You know what I mean?
Well,
I didn't see any of that shit like that.
I think it was brought upon me. If you go to Catholic school, then go to a dominantly Protestant school. After, I think that's where I seen the divide.
But did you see the divide in Newton?
No.
After that as well, no. Just between the schools and
just
the
schools.
No. Didn't you see it
in Newton? No, and we've talked about in Newton, we were kind of oblivious to the differences because we were all the same.
You didn't care if you're black, pink, Catholic, proddy, or whatever, eh?
I mean, Peter Ryland's been Stairs, and he was a Rangers fan, but obviously St. John's and St. Columbus, Catholic family, Italians.
Ah.
No.
That was his godfather.
You were his godfather? Peter?
He's just younger than us.
Robert's the youngest. Robert's 54.
Must be Robert when I was godfather.
He's a Dungeonetti fan, Robert.
Rosa was born, was it 65, I think, Rosa was born, and Peter was after that, and then Robert was 69.
But you didn't see any shit like that. Folk are just folk.
Correct, There was no racism or nothing.
No.
Okay.
No.
The only time I can probably remember it is when we were in our teens and there was all the guys from school started going out picking up all the women and everything.
Aye.
But I didn't remember any of us being into any of the shit like that, because we were on the Scar Music anyway. Most of all the artists that we loved were all fucking black.
Well, I go, I used to get called a Paki in a minute when we were school.
You got called?
Aye, because my granny was an Indian.
Oh, listen, when I grew up, because obviously I grew up with Fiddles, and he would get something down and again.
Oh,
There's salad there as well.
Guys. Did you come here to last week's deep dish?
Ah, me and Nicky, yeah. Me and Nicky, Thompson, Jackie Thompson's mum took them in. And me and Nicky was beautiful wee black baby, gorgeous. But we had my cousin as well, Simone. Her dad was African, okay? So kind of you're grown up with that. Saying that, my mum talked about it. She had to hear sit down and talk to me because I used to call Simone a wee chocolate drop. You know what I mean? But
you probably meant it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't think that was an issue for us growing up.
No.
Because we were all in the same boat, really.
We're all poor, yeah.
We're all poor, but happy poor.
Correct, aye.
You know, the majority of us were. Some people had it worse than others, right? But,
yeah, that's true.
It was a low level for everybody to start with, I wonder. No, there were folk that had fuck all. Mm. Absolutely on the bare bones stuff. But maybe on anything, really.
It showed up there at Christmas time.
But some of the families, the sizes of the families, how are you going to date? How are you going to sit?
Well, I was the youngest of six siblings, and I certainly wasn't spoiled, you know.
Aye.
But there were, no names mentioned, but you had the best of bikes.
Mm-hmm.
You always had a football, and you always had a football top,
mm-hmm.
and football bits.
Mm-hmm.
And we, unless it was handed down to me, then I never got it.
Yeah.
But I remember chopper bikes.
Huh?
I want a chopper for Christmas, but
I did get him back. It was Billy Fianders who used to swing that scoop door to me.
No, I mean that.
And then they
mother, you want a chopper?
They moved up to Eriski Place, and I saved money. He was selling his chopper. It was £15. He sold it to me for.
Did you see what's the worth now?
I've got a chopper in that shed.
I watched that buy this for cash. You go over a grand for it now.
Yeah, that's the first generation ones with the gear stick there. Yeah. That's what we had in the fucking... Listen, I'll tell you the story. So I had to save up. I saved it up for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to get that £15. And they were doing an Eriski. Came with Eriski, is doing North Muir.
North.
So mum drove me down and she says, "Will you cycle him?" Fucking, that's on the chopper. You can't go any faster than a chopper, you know, so the style, innit? There's no fucking speed. I'm fucking cruising. I'm cycling.
You couldn't change gear for a wheel.
No, you're fucking.
You have to shout your mate, or go change gear. You're still to take your hand off the handlebar.
Right round Butte Drive. So I came out of RSK and turned left. Right round Butte Drive. Up the hill, well, the bit of the grammar. And onto Gowns. And there was fucking, now I didn't like Gowns until I was up. Oh, I still didn't really go to Gowns too much. Because there was a few rough families. Fucking, here's me and my meat chopper. My mum's obviously well named, maybe probably in a couple of teams. And they're like, hey, Jesus, hey, let us see your bike. I'm like, as fast as I could, you know what I mean? Fucking along Gowns, they didn't give me my seat, but you know, there's no way I'll stop them. We'd never have seen it again.
No.
You know what I mean?
You were going about big families and birthdays and Christmas on. Mind my late father, bless his soul, his birthday was on the 24th of December. Right? Oh. Now there was one, two, three, there was three brothers and a sister. And every Christmas, you got one present.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And one present and an orange.
Mm-hmm. Aye, and a sock, an old grey, a school sock.
And he hated Christmas. Because
mm-hmm.
all these years growing up, they got one thing.
Aye.
And I always mind, my first waste bag was coming to Christmas and I started working that. He got two and there you go, Dad, there's their birthday and that's for tomorrow, that's for Christmas. And he stood there and had tears running down his face.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Stuart started working, we used to get him a bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one year I'd give him a bottle of whiskey, and then the following year, Stuart would give him a bottle of whiskey and that. And it was that thing, because we'd get him two presents at a time, he would leave them and he'd still be opening stuff like New Year. He was still, even because I mean, I see him when he's asked, No, I'm taking all this in.
Aye.
For years he'd done that. Mm-hmm. He'd sit and just, he'd pick one at a time and open on. Because he wasn't used to getting all these, you know, like,
shows you the value you've had in that thought, you know, just so much it meant to him emotionally. It wasn't about getting the gift so much.
No, it's just
sentiment behind it.
Yeah. But which, I thought it was terrible. Can you, you're sitting there.
Our Christmas depended on whether my dad had a good day at the bookies or not, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I probably checked, when we talked about we don't know, probably. My dad went nuts in the probably.
That's the boy, yeah, what's his name? The boy from Liverpool. He done the, like the Provy. Oh, Christ, what's his name?
Tom Beers.
Is it Tom Beers?
Tommy was the Provy man, wasn't he?
Aye.
Was he a
Scouser,
was he?
He was a Scouser.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Mm. Sure he was. He was doing it my granddad.
He was English, but... I used to walk in from your door, eh? Quite a chap walk right through. Weird that you remember on the dog, Blue.
Aye, I do, aye.
you just totally ignore it.
Aye.
And walk down, where's my money, kind of.
Aye. Froggy, what a rip-off that was, aye. Eh?
And your hallways was just black. Your footprints were cold, man.
Well, that's, I mean, it's just a matter, so if you can picture the door, going into your close and then picturing your door. Six panels of glass, and panels of glass.
And right through.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, the hall right down to the front
room. Every bedroom had central heating, do you remember? Big coal fire. Yeah.
So in the five bedroom, how many bedrooms have coal fire?
Yeah, really? Yeah, coal fire.
We did.
Well,
you know.
Two of our bedrooms,
in the front bedroom and the back bedroom, aye.
I can't really remember much of the coal fires.
Can't imagine you had one, Steve.
No.
Oh.
I can remember, well, I
walked in, there was...
I can remember the coal fires being there, but I think they were...
locked off?
Well, you just stuffed newspaper up the flue, eh, and that was it.
And we'd
like yours, probably the lum had never been cleaned for years, you know what I mean?
But I mind my mum getting there. I
used to be liking for a
bit of fire-like. We got a several heating. But
a few things.
I've got a few hands
too. Old beaters as well, eh?
Funny, when I was thinking of coming up here,
in the kitchen.
It's here. See where
the back is. Old you get where there was the coins and the meters,
there's a hut at the back.
That's right, now.
Harrier's hut.
Now, I can't yet.
We used to get Sunday school or something.
Yes.
I only went once.
Stevie Banks tells us about that.
I remember getting burnt, yeah.
Was it you?
I was with Gordon Banks that day. I swear to God, I haven't done anything.
Yeah,
I remember climbing through the roof. I think it was Gordon rather than Paul.
That'll be time bound now, that. That's all done.
So,
I mean, falling off.
There's a photo that I struggle to remember the Harrier's hut. But
I struggle as well.
I kind of remember it.
It was the old folks home, isn't it? But I think they did Sunday services in the day.
Yeah, I can't remember.
She was talking about going there because they've got a suite. Somebody was saying you've got a trigger or something.
That's where we went.
Mm. You know, I'm with Banksy, right?
I can remember once my mum and dad, they would never go to church, right? I can remember went to my mum and dad's bedroom Sunday morning, and my dad, that's when he would sing all the Celtic songs to me, right? That's where I learned all the Celtic songs. And then we'd all go to church, me, Joanna and Helen. And this one day, we got money for the bus, and we got on the bus to go to church. But we just never got off the bus, did we? Fucking just kept going.
All day. Yeah.
And then eventually we goes back came and it's like, yeah, so what was this happening about today then?
It was in Latin.
The missile thing every weekend. Mm. We got up on it. So anyway, and somebody actually grassed us up as well.
That's not really a question, is it? No. Mine's was just you could look down the mine. It's not the driver looking up, obviously, and bouncing off the mirrors. See, so you get rid of that.
Did you go to the school on Monday? And the teacher would be like, because, well, but it's for right, in Sunday school, I used to have like, first two periods was Harry, last two periods for lunch was Harry.
Started back after, funny.
Started back after lunch,
Harry.
To Harry. And then one period after was RE. But you always get them Monday morning. Master Sunday, yes. What were you? Oh, and you're like, 9 o'clock. Oh, you weren't there.
Hellish, yeah.
Well, it must be at 10. No, you weren't there.
Hellish, yeah.
All the time.
Aye, you go to Belfast for a meeting.
Aye.
Church
room. Very cool, man. You might not miss coming.
You have to take in the path.
Like long nails. Yeah.
That's
it.
In the church.
Nah.
We haven't been there on the Sunday. The only thing we did at primary school, never went into the grammar, was just seeing the morning, the Lord's Prayer, first thing in the morning.
Our Father, we are in heaven, that was it.
No,
we didn't, no.
Aye,
of course, aye. Fucking trotties, eh?
Who's your priests coming in and telling us jokes about Rangers and Celtic and the UDA and IRA and everything? This is a priest.
I know, man.
I mean, the weekends used to be.
They would have so many
babies. Drink grits.
I think we were up all the boys at some stage, weren't we?
Ah, I was.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, I was.
I wasn't.
In the choir. No.
The only altar boy I was when me and Jobs were caught under the altar.
I saw it for
all that.
Just sitting there underneath it.
You
and who? Me and Jobs, Jim McAlpin.
Aye. Must be raining that
Thursday
moment.
So the actual altar kind of was that and a big arch in it. Mm. We were sitting underneath it.
Jim or John?
Jim.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah. Aye, good.
They've just started doing all the boys again, eh?
Well then.
Just last few.
I got to the stage. Because I used to go to the church on a Sunday, and I start getting the football and that, and go to the stage. Well, you got a choice, football or the chapel. I'm like, I'll go for the football one. Right? And I was really bothered, eh? Even though she was a Catholic herself, right? Fine. But the guys was going to be, they were all into the older boys and drinking their wine and everything. No, didn't they? I got enough of it when I was at school. Getting drunk, didn't
you? Yeah, man, well, if you think about it, yes, it's so oppressive, man. You didn't want to be spending your weekends there either, mate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, would you get a confession? You used to go to confession this Saturday night. Did you go to confession?
Before you went out and sinned.
Oh, sorry, Father, I've done blah, blah, blah. Right, okay, right, you're out and doing what you want to do. And go back in the next Saturday and confess again. Oh, just say 10 Hail Marys. Thank you, Father. Yeah.
So see, I know these guys, you were into ska and the skin and the ska, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know if you were into mod really.
That whole
mishmash, wasn't it?
I was doing the whole punk rock thing a lot. Some of us here did kind of get in.
Aye, we're getting that.
Stephen Banksy
Never Mind the Bollocks, greatest album ever.
That's great.
Must
man.
Be,
yeah.
And fantastic. Well, it wasn't fantastic music, but it just caught.
Well, it caught a moment.
I was caught the imagination.
Young people, youth. It was like, oh my. Because I remember Nationwide when you hear on the telly, 6 o'clock Nationwide or something. And it was so, you're looking at 76, it was kind of kicking off. And I would sit and watch. So 76, I was 10. Yeah. And I was like, fucking, you see all these weird people, you know, and they were just starting to get on the telly and filming it. And I was like, oh, what the hell is this, you know? And I was like, anything I could see or look at, I was wanting to see more about it. But I remember the summer. So 76 or 77, so there was a whole Teddy Boy punk thing. And we were winding, it was me, Bids, James, Cashier, I don't know. We were winding you up. And I punked through your bass and punked this and that, right? And he chased us up my clothes, right? And my fucking door was locked. And there was you and somebody else, and he's going, like, are we mucking about, you know what I mean? But we were like cornered, and we just adopted the position, right?
Yeah, I that. When punk rock, I got Paul. Yeah. Not Paul
Banks.
Aye,
he's great.
And St. Stephen's Disco.
Aye.
Doing the tin.
That's
how.
The pound, aye.
Dog collars and t-shirts and all that.
Yeah.
And aye, but then this gobbin started turning all the fucking idiots.
Aye.
They weren't punk rockers, they were just fucking idiots. Aye. And they just jump on the punk rock scene to gob on folk.
Aye.
And I thought, nah, I'm not having that.
No.
And that was, although I still played,
yeah.
Well, me and my brother Michael was probably your personal DJ.
Aye.
Through the back, you know, and your bedroom used to, when he was on our bedroom, and his mate used to play Ruts DC, things like
that. Aye, blast it out.
I would always see, what's that band called? Because you did hear an interest in music.
Oh, yeah,
music
back then.
Well,
yeah,
and
Mike, like, well, Mike won't play anything.
Yeah.
You know?
But you guys were cool. You look cool, you know what I mean? When you were all like suited up.
To a 12, 13 year old, a 16, 17 year old guy.
He looked smart.
Because
like
we had guys
sharp
to look up to as well in our time.
Like Henry and Norrie McLeod. What's his name? Aye, Norrie McLeod.
Aye, Norrie McLeod, aye. He always looked sharp. Yeah.
You mean Brian Ferry?
Aye. And Ned Donaldson as well. Your brothers as well. I mean, going to your house and your brother were sitting there. What was going on?
Cool. We're growling at you.
We went through different phases, eh? We went even with the donkey jackets and all
that.
I'm not a punk rocker anymore. I'm a mod. No, I'm not a mod. I'm a good boy. No, I'm a swaggy.
But it was looking. But you're always looking for someone to be. You mean because you took an interest. You wanted to look smart, eh?
Identify with something.
You want to identify with someone.
I think we all went to get our studies. Was it me, you and Dozer?
Jackie
and Benny.
I'm not getting it done.
Raised in the middle.
I can't myself.
Reverse Mohican.
Did you ever think, did you ever feel
superior?
Some folk talk about coming from Muirton. When you start venturing out
into the town,
there was always a wee bit of you're from Muirton. For certain.
Aye.
I think I put my hand up and say I probably have a chip on my shoulder. Years, I've got a few scraps. Loads of folk. I could go to the toilet and pop it. Somebody would say, "Are you alright, mate?" Who the fuck are you talking to? Just because I never knew how to communicate. Mm-hmm. I was like Steve on that age, so I used to take things all the wrong way. Somebody would fucking give me that look or laugh at what was wearing. Just bat bat on them. So I wasn't proud of it.
I never
went with the intention of being
a man or anything.
Just it was
weird. What you said there was you said you didn't know how to communicate. That was fucking very to say that, to understand that when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, we all develop at different times, and if you can't communicate your emotions as a man,
I didn't even reply to Steve, but I'd be brought up listening to how hard I'd heard all these stories, but how hard the old one was. Missed if you have. And then, we lived with his family, for a while, right? And you had to kind of stand up for yourself there. I ended up a couple scraps there, and I ended up, because I remember being in Perth primary, I never had one fight at school. But then when I went to Edinburgh, I had two or three scraps at school. Always be your best mates.
Mm.
It was always the guys that were the best to you. Yeah. And then ended up in secondary in Edinburgh, everybody just had a bit of respect for me.
So they knew that you would stand out ground.
Being the Scottish boxing champion was attractive as well.
I didn't mention it, Steve. Correct.
I found going the other way earlier on there.
Especially the older guys that used to
looked down on us. Because you're all about, oh, you came from here. I found later on, say, the last couple of years, three, four years ago, because Muir has changed, as young guys are, oh, you're from Muir and you're this, that. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Well, what do you mean? He says, let's think about this now. I go, so your granddad? Aye. He stayed in Muir. I see him, your father, he stayed in Muir. Aye, but that was, that's what I'm talking. Aye, but no, it's all. I went, no, it's Kim Watson. Just go away and speak to your dad and your granddad.
It's a funny story, Mark.
And find what I'm talking about.
And what it was like.
And you think that's
the way
you're
talking about.
It's 13
of
that, it's 13. When he stayed sunny in the car, he'd still be in the sidechain, but maybe I'm just dying a bit too. It's my patch, right? You get that in the head and you go through and they offer me, this wasn't quite my patch, but still a lot of folks again, blah blah blah. And then going through Lethem, I got it into his head that this Lethem, I said, never liked me. It's never my patch. Never liked the folk that stayed here or anything, blah blah blah. Then eventually I fucking next time I'm driving up Genefield Road, there's no burst out of tears. Like, what's wrong? I know your patch now.
I
had to turn the camera and go
round
the wrong
fucking
thing.
That's true. Folk that we've spoken to, a similar response, folk would say, oh, you're from Muir, or folk would maybe even say, I'm not from Muir,
yeah,
or,
yeah.
Here, or
well, I remember applying for jobs.
Well, there you go.
Applying for jobs, your address.
As soon as your address, that's it.
So you'd always be into the gardens.
Right.
So the gardens sounded nice. You'd be never put fucking Muir. Never put Muir in the bit. But I don't know if it really made much difference, but in your head, you thought, fucking better not tell him.
But even for you even think about that and do that, you know, it's like, fuck's sake. Folk didn't have a clue, man, because I bet some of the best people in this tune have come from
Muir.
The Muir
Hunters.
You know? Think of the sheriff officer. He used to... My mother used to babysit him. What was his name?
Wheatley.
No, the other name. He's got the big house at the... down the Keith Road.
Aye.
Rutherfield. He's got a big white house. He's got a big white house in the corner. He had his office in Athol Crescent.
Right.
He was born in the...
Is he?
Born in here.
Aye. But see... Thing is, it's all stuck in the back of my head. Folk were going on about Anne Gloag and his dad and her dad and all, Faye Lethem. I've heard that they were actually in the Muirton, then moved over. I've heard up to the arguments with folk about this.
On the grand scale of schemes, though, it can't actually be that old.
It wasn't 100 years.
Never lasted 100 years, did it?
What, Muirton?
Yeah.
When was the first brick laid in Muirton? When was it? It was finished just after the war.
After the war,
It would have been stages. So the first houses in Muirton were moved into in 1938. So there's letters to that have been kept in the library for the council to the builders or whoever it was saying.
Yeah.
Signing off these addresses, Mobina Place, Nathan Gardens, Nathan Place for residents to move in. So Muirton, as we know it, with Lookouts Terrace, must have been finished by 1938, 1939. Then all the buildings stopped because of the war.
Yeah.
Then Gowns Terrace got built 44 into 47, 48, which had general business of the war on the squad's building.
That was the POW camp. Where the barracks is now. That was the POW camp.
So we've got letters and stuff, archives saying... But what, after the war, the Germans, the boys were still working on the fucking roads. You know what I mean? And the boys, the councillors were saying, you have to release these lads, you know. And they were, the job's going to come to a grinding halt.
They didn't want to go here.
Yeah.
Sure, a lot of them
would have settled, you know.
Probably, yeah, definitely.
Same with the fields, when you go around the country, even the screen that. Or the dry dining, that was all your PO days.
Ah, there was a POW camp in Glen Carcel,
I'm not sure. There was a couple
of them. There was a Bragan as well.
Yeah.
Comrie.
I served my time with A&J Stephen, that were based out there. the amount of guys that were a certain age that had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Had the name band.
There's a photograph from 1946. It's a Schoon event, and there's the German prisoners in the war doing the band, like, they're all there and they're white.
So they all worked on the mirror.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right, like, these shoes were fucking luxurious compared to what folk were coming from. Tommy Campbell talked about, so he was on the Pow Flats way, that direction of tube, outside toilets.
On Chaffrey Street.
Chaffrey
Street
and
Bath, I knew
the
old
route
toilets.
Yeah.
And the stair.
Ah.
The toilet
would be going down. Yeah.
And you're coming here.
Donkey
Hill Road as well.
In Bath.
Mm-hmm. Running water, in bathroom.
Aye.
Yeah. Know what I mean? Yeah. And Tam and Tam's mum came up for fire.
Tam Miles. Yeah.
They all came up for feeding there, and that was just like right.
But again, a shy hole, but again, a good community.
Aye. Aye.
So you said Hunters, Muir and Fryerton,
yeah.
Very, very similar
I
communities. Ken?
Yeah.
I remember my dad was brought up in the Pow, the Pomerium, and moved to Fryerton. Fryerton got knocked in. He went to Rutherford Avenue, and I think that Rutherford Avenue got knocked in when he rejuvenated the Hunters.
Yeah.
And then they moved to Malvina, and that place got knocked in. He was sitting in his house in North Newark. When I die, where are they going to put that blue plaque?
Lived here, and then here,
all
and
these places.
Just put it up in Velcro so they could move it in.
Every house is
worth it. He says, they knocked all the old houses down. They tried to flood us out of this one.
North Newark.
I was going to say, bring 40s and that, but you need 40s.
Yeah.
I had loads of 40s.
Yeah.
Grow a can, because I got a disc camera for my 21st.
Right.
It wasn't even one of these big cumbersome things, it was a flat. You put it in your top pocket, go out and just snap it and put it back in and that. It was neat. I had loads and loads of 40s, so.
And yeah, what memories? They started building North Mill. Do you mind that?
Aye.
Because we were doing them with the big tatty boxes. To climb inside them, underneath them.
I can mind going down and the farmhouse was still standing.
Aye.
So it's made them farm.
Aye. Yeah.
So
there's
a compass with
them? No. That's, the cottages were there. South Muir Farm. There was a farmhouse down into North Muir.
Aye.
I don't know what...
These cottages at the back of the school, South Muir Cottage.
Right.
And... God, I can't remember the date. There are something like 300 year old in cottages.
Yeah.
Because my mate lives in one of them,
yeah.
And he got there straight up.
They've been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've
got Ray's Golf, was it?
Yeah, the allotments.
Yeah,
that's right.
Find the allotments there.
That was at the back of the school, isn't it?
Fucking line going over there, because you all played in the top field, eh?
Used to build the gang up there, eh?
Well, I remember going over and fucking about in the allotments, and there was somebody had beehives.
I remember.
I remember one must have got my t-shirt. I was fine actually, but no, I wasn't at the time, but I just felt it buzzing and I ran home screaming. There was someone in my t-shirt and I was just waiting. I was just waiting for the fucking stinging, but I couldn't do it because I was panicked. I was greeting and I was screaming and I screamed all the way home. My mum heard me coming in talking about Mina. What the fuck's going on? There was nothing there, but there was definitely a bee in there. So the hives were there too.
Yeah, that's right, aye. When the wind is getting thrown up.
Windies. Sash windies.
There was a lot of places to play. Keep yourself occupied.
Oh, aye.
And the inch. I loved it. I still love the inch. Well, you know, you see me every day. playing golf.
And then days, Steve, you could disappear all day.
Absolutely.
And you did that. Your folks never had a clue where you were.
Yeah.
Or a worry, really.
Or a worry.
No.
Too bad, man.
No, the wind was
but you weren't allowed in the barn.
Thrown up?
No.
You weren't allowed in the barn.
You've been in that shed. No.
Because you weren't
allowed in the water.
You were mad. You went nose blind, eh? When you were in the you go to aim, you'd smell worse than a dog.
Yeah.
me and Paul Banks, we drew a map of that burn and sat on the bench in the path. And when the golfers came along, surprising how many balls go in that burn.
I did.
When the 17th and coming up the 15th, if you slice your ball, it goes on tape. So me and Paul would sit on the bench with the map. With the burn, be the bridges marked off, and where a ball went, and we just
watch that,
put an X, and then when it got quiet, we'd go in with the bare feet.
That's what Stevie Banks did.
See, I knew about. I mean, used to go into the burn, but that's ingenious. You sit there and watch them.
But you did it, and you always like to go into the river and. For a wash.
Wash yourself over.
But it didn't matter how thorough you put, you cleaned yourself, your maw still came. You were in that burn and you got a slap.
And probably because you smell Uncle Henry pocket bulging with golf balls. Polly bag with golf balls. Where'd you get
sell them back to the golfers? I think they'd be Stevie Banks.
Yeah,
the big cane, it's probably Paul's or.
Right. We did split in the.
Split,
the stick in the.
And then that's what we did, Stevie. We bare feet and he would. Boop,
It's funny, I still get a great pleasure when I find the golf ball along the on the grassy bits. When I see them in the water, I leave them be, but I still love finding them.
I leave them, they're mine.
Another good day on the course.
On your doorstep, so you could go any direction, eh, you've got the Inch, you could go up the river. I said, didn't really do that much. I just kind of ended up going up Canoe Hill. The Inch.
We played football on the Inch, we played cricket on the Inch,
golf on the Inch,
you played all sorts of sports, you did your morning runs when you were boxing around the Inch, you met your girlfriend on the Inch,
you drink on the Inch, you
got your first night in
Colin Inch, well you did,
on the side of course.
I had my dogs for year 20 year, and I think there's no day that I've never been on the Inch.
If I wasn't walking
my dogs, I was playing golf or wasn't riding my bike. I just got another bike, so.
Bell Sports Centre as well,
what do you think
about
it?
Bell's was a godsend too.
That's when you met your girlfriend, yeah.
Worst puppy in a plate of chips.
Play football. Play all day football. The hockey goals over the Inch. But there was always goals stored at the side of Bell's, and we would go and take them and play behind the Black Watch Museum. Me, Banksy and Fergie.
We had the rugby club. The three of us. With the.
No, the kegs of beer.
The kegs of beer.
Did you do that as well? I did that. Couldn't it?
Come on, get us one.
I got that in Moncrief.
I got Chase Stupid once at Fiona Lane. We went there one night on a rain. I can't mind why. It could have been Fiona. Anyway, we get up the stairs, right?
To try to get into the rugby club, is it like that?
Obviously.
I know.
You're all getting in. So, if you want to wet the toilet, let them use the toilet. So it's Christmas. And under the big spiral staircase, I'm going down the stairs. I grab the top of the tree and start running. Locked on the doorway and everything off. It's fucking took off. I keep running up fucking unchecked to us. But I think it never would happen to you after that. I don't know if she looked caught
or not. Well, we did the kegs take, so it was obviously.
You can get
a keg of beer for the rugby club, and we could not get into it.
No.
Covered in beer, went home stinking, and my mum's like,
what's
been going on? If somebody poured a tin of beer on me, I was absolutely drenched.
Aye.
Never got a drink out of it.
What about the berries and tatties?
I used to go to Tatties. I could hear the Tatties, but it's not crap. Hated the berries.
Remember when you used to go to the Tatties with Nicky?
Nicky Mulligan.
Like the horse?
You were there that day.
Did you hear the ferry? Fearless. And they picked the field already. The day before we picked the field.
That's right.
We put us back in the field. In Blair.
So that horse, you get me that field as that horse was in. Kind of if you come through Balafi.
Aye, yeah.
To that crossroads where you hit that road, I don't know what it's called. If you're going to Blair Gowie, you can come through Balafi way and then you pick up that road.
Right.
Am I making sense? Kind of Balafi House Hotel. Just where the beach hedges.
Aye.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that we walked off that day for the berries. It took us off on the go here about 6:30.
The berry was past you, by the way.
Yeah. It was another adventure, but we were riding the horse. when we got to that field, so we walked past the beach hedges, and then we took the right, but right in that corner was a white horse.
Right,
we spent fucking ages trying to get it to come over to us. But did the lassie not come and then end up letting us
on the horse?
Riding the horse.
I think so.
Big job.
A horse, my life.
Mind your mum saying that. You were before we started school, that she was doing the drill picking berries and you were away playing and picking a couple of berries and then away playing and that. And then you come up to your mum and she says, Mum, I found a football.
No, no.
It was a wasp bite, you know, a wasp nest. You mind that?
No.
Football obsessed, that lad. He's always been football obsessed. Thought a wasp nest was a football. He was going to kick it. When he threw it up before he kicked it, she managed to catch it, throw it, and run. Run like blazes to the end.
No, I can't remember that. Like, I mind the GFK.
Supporters boss?
No,
nah.
Dude,
when
he goes
shot. When he goes shot, assassin.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
1963.
I was in the bath. A tin bath in front of the fire.
Right.
When he goes shot. And
you'd be 3 months old.
Aye. Aye, don't tell me.
All right.
And Luther King.
That's the same year as the title.
I was in a tie field. And you got assassinated as well. Mm. Sitting in what do you call the basket, the tie basket?
Yeah. Aye, just the aye.
So sitting there for them.
Yeah.
But sitting in one of them. And the bearings of the coal and wheels. And the coal mine covered the whole school.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Doing the wheels.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Well, we had a rain tragedy in your name with our gas explosion.
Yeah.
I kind of minded that.
Well, I can, yeah.
We was in Edinburgh at the time, but Warren Mitchell came through to stay with us afterwards.
Right.
But where was it then?
They all got back. We had
it was 1976.
It was Tony's. 1976 Malvina, but Tony lived in
1974.
In that flat before the family. He was fiddling.
What year was that then?
1974.
I'd just be moving. I'd probably just be moving round the corner.
I remember the big hoo-ha about it because you heard the big. No, but on the day you heard the big. And then you heard the fire engines and stuff.
The hail street. The hail steam.
Heard that. Aye.
I'd probably be playing jazz.
Well, moving back in the wall there as well as killing the New York.
Mm-hmm. And even when. When you played on the practice, we called that field the practice.
That's beautiful. Golf course,
because there was 3 practice holes for the golf there.
Aye, yeah.
And you played football and cricket there as well.
Yeah.
But every time you went over to you could see where the repair was. Yeah. And it was just a constant reminder of that day.
Yeah. So I vaguely remember the repair work. But I was too young, and we were in Billing at the time with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think anything about it until Davina told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there before the family went in after her.
Mm-hmm.
Colin and Paul Morton were friends of mine, and I was their pal when they stayed, because we walked to school together.
Was that the family stayed?
They were two funny guys, and they were.
Yeah.
And they heard me in stitches, walking to school and walking back, really. And we never knew what happened to them in the year, but a few years ago, I didn't know whether they were dead or alive. Really. You never heard from them how they were dead, if they were alive or not.
Was it their Houston?
Aye. And
they were
born. I knew their cousin, one woman. And I got chatting to her one time, and I just, because I didn't want to hear bad news, eh? And I thought if I didn't ask, I could just pretend that everything was okay with them. Eh? Yeah. But I grew up like that, eh? Yeah. And I asked her whatever happened to them. Oh, either the Paul's here and Colin's there. I said, well, tell him I said hello. And next thing you know, I've got a video call on Facebook for Colin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was emotional. Aye. It was emotional because it had been when he's.
I don't think they ever moved back after.
No, he's been back in Perth a few times, but he stays in England. Mm. But 18 months in the hospital. After his mum had an auntie who was a nurse that had just retired then, and he stayed with her for 3 years after getting out of the hospital. Getting his, because he was burnt to her, he was just one big bluster.
Mm-hmm.
And his great auntie he adopted him, I suppose, and she changed his dressings, his bandages every day for 3 years until.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Well, maybe I've kind.
Was just after it, and then folk have told stories, which yours sounds the most kind of accurate because you've always spoken to the boy.
Aye.
Because we heard that he had got to jail,
yeah.
And then we'd heard that he'd gone to court,
yeah.
And obviously, because they all moved away, people lost touch and maybe didn't quite follow what was going on and maybe made various assumptions. Do you mind it?
Yeah, but it was in Edinburgh.
Oh, that's what you said.
I knew folk that still lived there, eh? The Mitchells were still upstairs,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Brooks Banks would have been the next course, eh?
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Robert,
mm-hmm.
David.
Because you had Brooks Banks in the bottom, Thomas is above them.
So the Grants were in that course, and all them 76 were they not? Omo Grant, Ali Grant.
They were next to the Brooks Banks.
Then he's a member of John Anderson. I went to school with him.
See what he did?
He parks in the street here and walks his dogs.
Did he stay in the same course as the Banksies?
I don't know, because that's
the I don't remember Anderson's, because when we moved in there at 72, 73.
I think
Banksies on one side and Walkers on the other on the bottom.
He caught him with a lug and ripped his brakes all the way up to the kneecap, man. We'd take the dog back in and a little bit more. Okay. So, is a dog warden going to come in?
Dog warden, mind that. So, fucking dog warden.
Jimmy went home and took his brakes off. And Pina folded the trousers up, came round to see my mum. And my mum's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Pina's Italian, and my dad's all way to, oh God, we can turn the volume up on the telly. Because he thought it was going to be an Italian argument, let's say. But Pina, I don't know why she chose to speak English, but that's, she come to the kind of chat the door, and my mum was, well, because we've seen her walking along the road, yeah. Mum went to the door, yes Pina. You're a dog, you're ripping my man's trousers. You're an elephant. Laughing away, eh? The mum says, well, I'll fix them. And mum's a good,
yeah,
good medicine. This, he don't want that. And he just knew and promised to keep the dug in and all that. But that was and that was one of my dad's catchphrases. You're a dog, you're up on my man's a tooth.
Oh, that's it. It's really, really strong. Lovely steam to it. But where was your mum from then? I mean, Italy, but where?
Popoli.
Whereabouts that?
It's near Pescara, which you're not in the wise heart, but I suppose.
Uh-huh. North or south?
North.
The posh part.
Well, not quite. Well, my mum's family were kind of posh. My granddad had a job.
Uh-huh. The south is what?
Aye.
You know, obviously, the south.
Contorsi, Germany.
A lot of Italians
came over, eh?
Are fake Contorsi.
Aye.
The train came from the south to and passed Popoli, Pescara, then Milan. And the plane left Milan, came to Scotland. And my mum was one of them. But my mum was 21,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them were 16, 18.
Peter was 18 when she arrived.
Aye.
Were they trying to escape Mussolini?
No, this was 1950, Tony. So my mum was 21 then. And they all got jobs at Stanley Mill.
Yeah.
And that's where my mum met my cousin, Maureen Cullen. And her dad, Bob Cullen, was an RSM
mm-hmm.
in the army, stationed in Italy. So he could speak Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So through hand gestures, Maureen invited my mum for her tea, and Uncle Bob was going to translate between them. And then she was sitting in, and my dad lived upstairs, and he just popped his head in, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
My mum says, you might not believe it now, he says, but your dad was a good looking man. He was like a blonde Gregory Peck.
That's a great story. I love that, just the connections, how
you meet each other. They all wanted to come here and marry an older, established man. And that was my mum's intention as well, I suppose. But when she seen my dad, she was a year younger and just head full of broken biscuits and nonsense. That was it.
Dad was a great old guy, Steve. Yeah. I loved your old man.
But,
philosopher.
But Tom, when my mum was at my cousin Maureen's, mum and dad saying the tea and that, and Tom, what did she say, Dad? What did she say? And she says this and she says that. And barra the beat, barra the book, barra the beat, barra the book. What did she say, Dad? What did she say? She says she's got a. Five brothers and a sister, what did she? And then Maureen goes, she's wonderful, eh, Dad? Eh, Dad? And Uncle goes, aye, she's a braw lassie. Can we keep her? And Bob says, she's a young woman, Maureen, she's no a fucking dog. But they did keep her. She got digs there. And I think my mum, she heard the eye from my dad, but then that's what I'm saying, she got that bit too late when I seen him. And she taken digs, we, the Collins,
mm-hmm.
and the romance started between my mum and my dad. And my dad wasn't a drinker, but he'd go to the picture house every night to see the same movie. He seen King Kong about 30 times or something.
Classic.
All his mates would go to the pub and he'd see them after it. When he come out the picture house. So he's at the picture house, walks along with the picture house, and there's my mum waiting in the queue, at the end of the queue. Oh hiya, what are you doing here? Oh, my mum says, oh, I'm meeting my friend here. I'm going out to see her movie. There was no friend. Yeah. Oh, well, I'll wait wee until your friend comes. So folk are going in, the picture's starting any time. My mum's friend hadn't showed up. Oh, well, I don't know when she's showing up then. And my dad says, well, just come in and watch the movie with me then. Well, okay then. That was it.
Oh,
that's how it was done. You know?
Right, yeah.
And that's what I say to my cousin Maureen. It's all your fault, Maureen. It's all your fault, I'm on the technique.
Yeah.
That's great, that's a lovely story.
Do you remember? I remember my cousin Bob, Maureen's brother, saying, she said, when that Irina came into the family, she said, it was marvellous, yeah. She said, it's because we were all starving, you know. They didn't feed us. On a Friday, at the weekend, you didn't get fed, because they were all in the pub, and they met mum and dad, and the aunties and uncles, they all just went to the pub the whole weekend. And we had to fend for ourselves, what was in the kitchen, that was it, you know. And you would draw lots to go to see who would go into the pub and ask for money for chips, the chippy and all that. And one day there was no luck getting a cup of bottle for a bag of chips or that. So they drew lots to go and see Aunt Irina, and it was Bob. Bob went up, charged the door, Mum came to the door. Yeah, what is it, Bob? What is it? She said, well, our mums and dads are in the pub, Aunt Irina, and we're all outside, not had anything to eat, and go and get your cousins, go and get them all together and come up.
Do you
really? Aye, to my mum's. Really? Aye, I'll get you something to eat, don't worry about that. She went down and says, right, Aunt Irina's feeding us. What's she making? I think she's making a cake. A cake? Aye, she was out with the flour and the egg. That's a cake, eh? But wasn't it? That's how you make pasta, you see. And Bob said, we'd never seen pasta before, we'd never made pasta before. And we all went up to Aunt Irina and sat down, and there was the pasta, and they're all, what the fuck?
What a funny cake.
What's this? Then she poured this red tomato sauce over it. She said, he says, we were in heaven. She said, this was a marvellous,
like
marvellous thing ever. And stuffed her faces.
Yeah,
mum was
the
Italian 15th.
In the corner.
Aye.
Mum was
the
guy. Aye, for my sister's wedding. Aye.
Yeah.
We have
to
go
to dinner
real. So it's just so honoured. Aye. When my mum went to Italy for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, my dad, now I'm no criticising my dad, because he made the best stories in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it every night. And Tony's mum, Margaret, God bless her.
Yeah.
I tell Steve to come in for tea.
Yeah.
And I come in with him a tea. Oh.
And that, but that was it. So there's, I mean, your mum switched on. So you, whether you might have said, been visiting Tony to Margaret, oh, my mum's away for 3 weeks, and mum's switched on. Dad's cooking for 3 weeks. I want to make sure that bairn's fed.
My dad could make stories, mince and tatties, rice pudding, and semolina.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so you had they four plates in any kind of order. Yeah. 2 or 3 weeks, mum was in that one. And it just go.
I used to love homemade rice pudding, and I used to put the oven, the skin on top.
With the currants in it.
Sometimes mum would put currants.
Skin was good.
Oh, I
hate
it.
Oh, I love it.
I've not had it for years. No homemade rice pudding, no. Glorious.
But I remember the days, I remember when there was nothing, you know, it was like Ryvitas for some reason. It was like a dry pack of Ryvitas, you know.
Why? Why are Ryvitas, eh? Because nobody was ever on
fire. Well, you're coming up.
Funny that,
though,
because my father, come from a very humble background, day. He was orphaned by the time he was 12 or 13. Left Ireland, came over here, but he could cook.
Mm.
It's kind of used to me because my mum should be working shifts. A piece of jam, right? And then he would deep fry it.
Jam,
or you could make pancakes, scones. I was quite handsome, I think. And a few times as he kicked him out, he'd go wild again. You would set traps, didn't you? You would set traps and you'd catch rabbits and everything. And birds and everything. You'd set the coop more up. Like an old fire and everything.
Take him out when you're going to hunt and everything. Like you say, it's going feral, but it's definitely a skill to really go out
and
catch a rabbit, catch whatever. Know the wild.
That's how a lot of them, like my granny and grandpa, that's how they were, because a lot of the families, they all done the harvesting to Angus. Doing to Perth. Perth was in Fife in Perth, but a lot of them settled in Perth, and then one day my granny and granddad just got too old to keep doing that, to keep living that life, working like that, and settled in Perth.
Yeah, there was a system, there was a calendar to follow what was growing and what was needing harvested or planted.
And where,
My granny's dad, he was a McIntyre, and he was the gaffer for the tatties. Tatty harvest and tatty picking. And my granny was the only daughter, and she had something like nine brothers, and her mother had died young, so she had to keep the nine boys in her. But
You were going to tell us a story earlier about Nicky.
Picking tatties, Nicky, aye.
Nicky
Morgan.
Maybe some folk will care for Mickey.
Nicky lost his left arm when he was five, when he got run over. But I'll tell you, you've never seen anybody pick tatties quicker. Nobody could pick a bit of tatties quicker than Nicky. And me and Tony, super fit boxers, you know, we could pick tatties. Well, we'd be maybe a basket away. There was enough tatties on the ground for one mere basket, then you just get the searing pain right in your back saying, there was Nicky, picked his bit clean, last two tatties, Tony's backside, and then whoosh, my backside, right in the cheek, every time, every bit. Man, it didn't matter how quick we went.
Oh, you fucking went like shit.
Jesus, man.
Amazing, eh?
Ah.
Yeah. One arm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How the fuck? I mean, that's just amazing.
Right. My wee cousin Mick Harkin, he came to Perth and worked with me. By this time it was Tommy Mannion that had Tommy Mannion, my cousin Moni, and he ran the ties at the time. And Mick was a young lad, eh? And it was right, Mick, you work with Nicky the day. Oh, right. And Mick says, well, this'll be an easy day.
Mm.
Yeah, and he's when Uncle Tommy's doing me a favour here, putting me in Nicky, I'll just be, He says, the hardest day's work I've ever done in all my life.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up with him.
Something else. Could swim, could play pool, snooker.
I never heard them back anyway.
No, that's it. Young enough to adapt, to having
it. Yeah. There were some legendary grubbers at the Tatties.
You had
to drag him out of the reel, and he would never take his luggies up to the weights, and he would just go and get more luggies, and by the end of the day there was maybe a dozen luggies. You'd be all be in the bus waiting to go home for a tea.
He'd still be
in the reel with a dozen luggies, still be weighed.
I was a kid,
right?
He was like a couple. I was just useless. I just couldn't do it.
Mary O'Connor, she was another. Yeah. Well, she was Mary, but Mary could make the money out of the berries.
Nah.
I'm trying to think who else now.
That's where you got your school uniform
for. The October holidays.
It's a day for us.
That paid for your winter boots and your duffel coat.
Mm. There's a lot of money for the tatties. Don't you think? Back then.
It was a lot of work though.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of
work. I think seen the work because you never made as much as the berries. When was the same day?
We started, would it have been a fiver a day?
Well, even so, right? You're talking what, mid-70s, late 70s?
Well, you start with a half bit, eh?
I'm sure it was a tenner at one point.
And then it went up to 15 quid, and it was that for ages.
On top of that, you get your gold money, so.
That's great. I think that was 69, that was me, I was done. Finished. Thrown off the field. And again.
I think that's it. Can we do morning rolls?
Aye.
My class.
Aye.
What is it?
Hey, yeah.
Washing and
cleaning.
Is it? Steve. The washing's on, sorry.
Off just so it doesn't get wet. Alright.
Yes,
good.
Fine. Yourself.
Are you alright?
Good.
Good, good, good. How are you, Steve?
Aye, alright. Aye.
Chatting away.
Aye. Aye. Yeah, it's been good. Fed bump.
Alright, what did you get?
Oh, where's the soup?
Soup's there.
Oh,
I'm going to get a soup. See you about 4 in the morning.
Oh man, that's what the...
Go to Matt's in the... over the bridge, Cambridge End.
Uh-huh.
On the left-hand side.
Yeah, go downstairs.
And the down to there.
Aye.
The Cat and Hatters.
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
The gym there. That's
right. That's right.
And we should go around like the Tullock and everything. We have the kind of big trays with the rolls and everything. As soon as you come back in, there was like, you had every newspaper you could think of. Bags of rolls, pints and pints of milk.
That's usually well off.
My mother used to give everybody in the clothes, the papers and the milk and everything. Then I'd go home for breakfast and go away to school for 8 o'clock, I'll say 9 o'clock. Then come home at night, usually we'd play them.
I don't know, but the people around as well, I was in the Bonacord lottery. Friday night it came round our way, Friday afternoon, I went out one night playing golf, me, Colin Stewart, Boy Braden.
And somebody else, and we got to the North Burton. We used to call it the private course, kind of North Burton. And there, Colin's like, "Did you know that we'd be in the Evening Telegraph, mate?"
Forgot
all about it, yeah. So right away, and got all that done. But I had
I did the Evening Telly in the Sporting Post.
Paper round and done the rolls the night after school with the Mrs. Bike. Because there's a wee shop down in the corner of the St. John Street as well. It's now the is it Henderson's Jewelers.
And is that Mark's shop?
There was a shop at Baker's as well. And on the Mrs. Bike and turning the wheel in the basket, see where it was like.
Yeah.
Aye, don't know why.
Because you had to work, you had a work ethic.
There was a McIntyre, I think it was McIntyre, opposite. It's where the Sally Army shop now, opposite the old house, on the corner.
Aye, so there was, right in the corner, there was a Baker's in there, that's right. Bloody great rolls of McIntyre's rolls.
Oh aye. Well, the Baker's at the bottom of the Mill Street. No, the drum store or something like
that. Was a drum store there?
Oh, that was Montgomery's. It's a baker's booth at school. And the wee cafe up the stairs.
It was Montgomery's initially.
Shalimar Indian
at one point. Because when it's a baker's, you go in one door and come out the other door. There are two doors. There is just one door in the middle.
We used to run down from school from Northern every day asking for broken biscuits and chance of seeing any broken pies. You know?
What was the baker's that was next to the textiles before the swimmies?
Crawford's.
I mean, throwing a big tray of rolls, kind of in the tallock, kind of the shorts, as the wee bray, walking down, and slipped the knives here, rolls in there, picking them all, dusting them.
They feel
all you don't mind, you know, they're a bit of man. But see, the mornings used to go in, after you'd done one shift, used to go back to Bridgen, and we're in the stairs, and the minute you walked in, you could smell the bacon. And the rolls and
the bacon smells.
And the homemade jam and everything.
There was a baker's up at the Dunkeldwood shops, which we didn't know about.
Next day, it must have been next door to the car place, wasn't it?
Mm. We kind of mind about it. We spoke to the lady whose dad had the baker's at one point. Uh-huh. There was a baker's even before him.
Before him, right. I would have
loved that. I can't remember a bakery up there.
I was not allowed in the mall, I was not allowed to go that way.
I always thought it was a multi bar out that road somewhere. Between the shops and the rail bridge, I thought there was like a multi bar, kind of like a wee cafe type milk cakes and that. Is that not real? Not, I just imagined it.
Just imagined it, yeah.
But it could have been, because I think that bit there was loads of stuff that's still there in the mirror.
Before the Polar's house on the top of it.
Probably after the team hotel, probably out too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think. Old T-Hotel, eh?
Mm. Did you ever go in there?
T-Hotel?
Yeah.
Just before my time, well.
Because you got a bit of
papers in there. Didn't they drink in there?
Mm. They take their pool very seriously in the T-Hotel. Here, at the Crucible. Oh, it was mental. Some good players, though.
Mm-hmm. Where did you start drinking when you began to go to the pubs?
I take a pint of milk in with me, and on Sunday we take a pint of milk because you were healthy and boxing, trying to be healthy, thought it was good for us, but it's probably more calories in it. I took a bottle of milk and magnesium because the gas in the lager
from my stomach in.
That's the new cavern, the grill. What's that place down the bottom of South Street we used to go to a few times?
Gowrie.
Gowrie.
But you got your drink at the bar and you went through the back and that, when you stayed
quiet, that's right.
And you left the front bar to the grown-ups.
Yeah. What was the pub called? The High Level.
Was that the Isle Sky?
That's right, I think I just caught the tail end of the Isle Sky.
Mm.
what was it called again? There was a night there called, what was it called? It was a club night, can't mind.
No. No.
So you talked about Dave there, Dave McKenna, so they were on the park, eh? Were they all, were they all park lads?
No. There was, you always hear stories about getting in the park, this in the park, that.
Just a spark, you
know. No, that I ever knew.
Little park, yeah, and Sparky and.
Was he?
And Cranbell and that.
Hmm?
They were all in the old park, were they not?
Sparky?
Sparky and Cranbell and that.
No. No. So the park would be Johnny Burns.
Right.
The guys, bald and us.
Right.
There wasn't really any. Activity.
Aye. Probably like early mid-70s, wasn't it?
And the old Muton Park, kind of Florence Place, but kind of devolving into the big path. Since Dundee game, your brother Dave, Eddie, Norrin, all them, they're all in the row and they're all kind of lift over the wall. Carriots. We all you had to run on the wall into the catch. So I was the young guys on up with the loafers, they're all said, spark, you're trying to. Yes,
fire
on them. So when they're going fire.
No, my only chance was getting in over the fence at the ice rink. Used to stack beer barrels up, but you had to negotiate the barbed wire. You had to do like a. Kind of like a pole vault kind of manoeuvre without the pole to go over the barbed wire, and that was but the smaller kids got a lift. I kind of stopped growing when I was 14, eh? I was a big kid, you know. I was like 12 stone when I was 10 years old. And he's a lift, mister. Fuck off, father. What are you talking about? You're bigger than me, son.
Give me a lift.
And all your wee mates got a lift off, so the game kicks off and there's, you're still outside, eh? So you go around the sneaky in through the back of the ice rink somehow. I can't remember how you got in there. And then try and climb more. But you mean you would, if the police seen you or if that, it wasn't guaranteed. Even if you go over the fence and if you were seen, you just managed to get in the
camp. I had to become a ball boy.
Jimmy's nephew, Gordon Rea, was at school with us.
He
was a ball boy. No. Bob's dad was a director at
Saints at that time, eh?
But the Hulls, Graham and Steve. Derek Sweeney and a guy, Eddie Conan. Hugh and Barry's cousin. And I go in as a ball boy, and you had to be in the park like 2 hours before kickoff, and you were kept in this wee
tiny room, eh?
Tiny cupboard.
You
kept the empty bottles in there, and the empty pot bottles, like lemonade bottles. And you weren't allowed the toilet, nothing, can you just get your tracksuit on and you wait there. Until the game started. So one day Celtic came and on points of all over he'd suit the wee cupboard and that. And if you needed the toilet, you just used one of the empty lemonade bottles.
Nice.
So I've got a call in H on the go away, and I'm trying to aim in this wee narrow
neck,
opening of the bottle, top of the bottle. And that's when the Celtic players came in. And it was dying with rain, Ken took the leash, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, that was my, Ken, they were my heroes. I was at that age, you know. And, Kenny, Danny.
Peter Cockerley.
And I'm stuck, and they're all jostling about, and I'm getting through the kind of sexiest in this wee cupboard. So my aim got disturbed there, And I peed all over my hands. So, next thing you know, there's Big Jock skiing. All right, Jock, all right, Jock. All right, boys. And he stopped to say hello to the boys, and everybody's shaking their hands behind me. So he looked at me and he stuck his hand up towards me to shake my hand.
It's not.
And I didn't want to be rude, so I just stuck my wee pushy hand in his hand and I shake it like that. Yeah. I wasn't invited back to Newton Park. Like, oh. That was my last.
A dog scene story, baby's heard.
I know.
That's absolutely class.
Yeah.
Well, I got threatened with a woman, Celtic fan, and we're ready to go. The ice rink end. You didn't sit down, son. The bar's off you. No more. I was like, no, no. On the way, and I was like, no, we're going through. And Jimmy's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, that woman on the boss all the way. And I was like, you couldn't have sat down or anything. You just had to, ball boy. Nowadays, you can sit down by then, you couldn't have. The way back, and I never went back again. You're just a young lad, yeah.
You got some abuses of ball boy.
Oh, wasn't real.
Especially when the ball went into the stands of that, and it's like, you wouldn't give you back. It was like, fucking hell. It was just a thankless task.
Did you get paid much for
it? You got
into the game.
Maybe I'm nearly on telling a juice or something.
Get in the game.
I think we were in a bigger room. I'm sure we were getting changed. We'd be early 80s, 81, 82. We were in a, what I thought was a boiler room.
Something that will stick with me forever though is, for me, the greatest player
of Tuesday,
for me, was Jimmy Johnson. I'd put him up there with Maradona and all the rest of them.
Jimmy, yeah, brilliant player.
And see when you're running along the wing, albeit the other side of the line or the pitch, but when you're running along yards away from Jimmy Johnson, right?
Yeah.
That close to him, running along, it's
lovely.
I've no words to describe it, man. But it's.
How old would you have been?
11.
Aye, so it's just dreams of a boy, isn't it?
Aye.
And
see when the ball went to his feet, and you had the back of your head to the crowd, and thousands of people behind you. And when the ball landed at his feet, there was like thousands of people holding their breath.
Waiting to see what's going
on. In one instant, it was like a vacuum. And you felt it. You felt this vacuum up behind you.
It's
amazing.
He ended up at Elgin.
Aye.
He made that time. He's
back where he belongs.
It's a boxing shop there at the football ground there, and you've got all these photographs of Jimmy Johnson ending his career.
He ended up selling Sky TV packages.
Did he?
Aye. Greatest player ever for selling TV packages for Sky or whatever it was, man.
I might be in my grandma's house.
Doesn't make sense to you.
No. They brought him back in.
And folk didn't want Sky packages. Here was Jimmy Johnson. Aye, for sure. Sky's greatest salesman, I suppose. Nobody wanted the package, but Jimmy Johnson comes to your house and you want to sit him down.
Well, we could all be telling us for fuck all back then,
Perth was one of the... Not the first, one of the first to get digital TV.
You could get a cable
then
and connect it to your
remote.
And
splice it
with
your
neighbour.
Mm-hmm.
Cable TV for
SFA. Well, remember John Conway and Jim Pearson, for Saints. I went to my grand's house one day and they're sitting there having a cup of tea with Martin Elizabeth, because she was only with their age and they all went to boot together.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Yeah, here's Jim Pearson, yeah, John Conway and the rest of them. And that Alex Rennie.
Alan
McCoy still
stayed with Bobby for a while, eh?
Aye, Alan stayed at the
Bears.
Yeah.
Where did he stay? Bobby
Brayton
and Bobby.
50.
He stayed in Belouses Street.
52 Belouses Street.
That's a kid by Bob.
We're off for the...
I had Belouses Construction as well, eh?
Mm.
He was under like a Jag sitting on his drive.
is that? Which Bobby would occasionally take for a wee spin.
Well, it was his mum's home and aunt he used to take. His mum and dad would be over at Milton Park, because his dad was a director at Milton Park, and he'd be there at the hospitality bits.
How did you get this guy? Was he at school with you?
Right. I'll show you a photo.
We'd hear a whiskey and top it up and call it tea.
Well, the whiskey bottle,
mark it off on the label and always top it off with cold tea. And then we'd jump in his mum's helmet and
whiskey.
And drive to Creath, the back road of Creath. And back. That was our Saturday. That was our Saturday afternoon entertainment. But it was mental, Bob. Mind when we got turfed out of the X class and then the Y's class?
That's his
teeth, to even up the numbers.
Even up high.
We were born in the middle of the year, so we were the youngest in the X class. And we moved in the Y and became like the oldest in the...
No Y.
Depending on what time of year you were born.
Because you're 20.
You have 15.
15th.
Collins is 17th. And I'm the 20th.
You're the 20th.
So actually, you and Big Andy Young mixed up. Because she's the 5th of July.
Good banter, though. Good banter.
That's what it is, though. When you start talking about these things, stories that you've probably not told for ages, or maybe not even heard. The backyard didn't say. Fences.
Brother Schlappitz. The two dogs there so stuck together. Like.
He was escaping. The dogs stuck together.
In the white shite. Do I see that now?
White shite. Everybody talks about that.
One memory I've got with you dogs is when I fell off my bike and knocked myself out outside Tony's house. Kind of how you could go on the bike knee handies. And I used to be the $6 million man impersonation. Used to cycle the bike and then move my hands back.
One eye. Back. Oh, right. I thought you were the one eye then.
Who's this? Who's it? Steve Austin, $6 million. And I hit something, a stain on the road or something. I woke up in the hospital. That's what you're for showing off though.
Showing off there, so.
Go to speak.
Yeah.
I remember in 19, we're out in the back, me and Colin. And the guards got the big drains, kind of like big manhole covers.
Yeah.
Put a metal thing, lifted it up. Okay, so you could think of it. It was the broomstick, that's what it was. I went down and I'm right, call right, and he's hugged his hands. And I've got. And the thing snapped it, and the whole blood went right through his fingers. So if you see Colin's fingers now, he's got tiny wee nails. And it didn't go in. And he got them caught.
That makes you wince,
eh? Ah, I'm sure. That.
Gary telling me a story. They did something in their factory. And the open. I don't know how he managed to do it, but he got somebody doing inside it. And he like shut that and went away and left them for hours on it.
And then there's a big gap in that air. With the fork kind of like down again, and right through the belly. And in between my big toe and my second toe, this spike of the fork went right through the belly.
Missed your toe?
Just missed it.
Mm.
Like that, like sort of right through there, like.
Mm. I've been in a new back game playing with Andrew Green, and they were on a boot playing Jason British and what have you, and running across, and there was bits of broken wood and stuff. And I stood on one. Fucking pull it off and away you go and you're like, alright. And then, I don't know, it must have been a few nights later, one of my toes just fucking blew right up and then popped with the poison that was coming into you like, out the way and got the way, you know what I mean?
Lovely.
Nasty.
Did you
go
to
the
tetanus?
Aye, right.
My
mum was like,
you'll never go one tetanus, so.
But then it was never
all the time, man.
When was the last tetanus?
Oh,
3 months ago.
I think they jammed you like that, didn't they? Sometimes. I was like, my mum says I was up to 18, probably the day they'd call the social work because you were up there that often. Back again, Stephen, kind of thing, you know. But I remember hands and knees, kind of in your arse, you know.
Good enough.
And it wasn't even like a nice, it was a definite jab, you know, stabbing. Fuck aye. I used to not want to see myself.
Was that tree, kind of one that was next to it, was right in front of the Robertsons, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you, and you.
I was never out there. Yeah.
Ah, was that tree, done it? Because the other ones were like long, weren't they?
Yeah, that the big silver birches,
nice. And that in there, that's the one you could climb up in.
Yep. That's it. It's still there, Mark. That tree's still there. Barney and I have walked in here a couple of times now. And that tree is still there. So that's the one that, as you say, Scott Robertson's.
Aye.
The birches away, as you say, yours, and the one that was closer to mine, it was gone as well.
Because the wooden. See around the corner at 19, there's only two.
See it, eh?
Big huge birch.
My mum told me when we first got the colour telly, the neighbours were coming in to see a look at her.
World Cup.
1970, 74, 70?
Aye.
70 was Italy, Brazil, that famous, famous game.
They opened it against Brazil, that they? The tournament against Brazil, was that France?
No,
it was
Scotland was
Brazil
against France.
But nobody bought it. Colour telly was, who was it? Radio Reynolds.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Radio Reynolds.
Radio Reynolds.
I always remember it. That was the big noise at the time, getting a colour telly in time for a World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my dad watching the snooker in black and white. And there's that.
That famous quote. Yeah, for those watching in black and white, the pink is behind the blue.
Something like that. Seemed to go on all the time back then.
Oh.
I might go to my granddad's when the guy's terrace. He was in the living room on a Sunday watching what I always thought was just snooker. It just seemed to be on all the time.
And the wrestling as well.
Wrestling, Saturday.
World of sport and all,
That emptied the streets. The wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aye.
You'd be playing like Sandy Scott springs to mind. I used to play football with Sandy Scott. His goal post was his close gate. And mine was my close gate. And jumping over the kerb and all that. And then my dad would come to the windy, the wrestling zone, right, next goal's the winner. You'd go up and watch the wrestling.
Honestly, love it. My mum would take me down to the City Hall on a Wednesday. And my mum and I would get doing that, so I was treating, and I was allowed to swear. Because we got so carried away with it. Haystack, you bastard!
Sorry. I used to be doing the call of shootings, man.
Oh, that's a great man. Oh, it's brilliant.
Daddy and Kendi Nagasaki.
I saw Haystacks. Yeah, I saw Scotland v England thing. Brilliant. In the City Hall.
Amazing.
It was mayhem.
Texas
McNamara. I know that, huh?
Sally.
City Hall.
Were they in City Hall?
It was City Hall.
It was
deed,
eh?
Hmm?
Yeah, it was
deed. It was, aye. That was just before Gino broke, eh?
I mind that Ken Golan saying, look guys, just come up the front, just come in the beard like that, man. And we all had to go off our seats, because they're the seating.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good 20 yards from the front row to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we just filled that area, we were up dancing and that, so quite a...
I wish I'd went.
Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, she's
right. Yeah, that's right.
Did you see the Skids at the hall?
Skids, yeah.
Hugh and Cry, they played their farewell when their record company let them go. Done a gig in a lesser.
The Meteors.
He pulled a blade out of me, man.
Perth. I pulled a blade and a hammer on me. Sum up then.
I think the boys should sum up. I guess it's just to finish it off, we'll edit all this and bring it together so it makes some sort of sense.
Get it,
we'll
come
out with
loads of
our
stories,
eh? That's sensible folk, eh? They remember things once they've moved and kind of gone home, and the memory's still got stuff kicking about.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
with
like coffee.
Aye. I think, trying to summarise is difficult, but Fiji is mutant, obviously, played a big part in your lives. If you were to be stopped in the street and say, tell us about mutant, what would you say, just in a kind of,
as brief as you can.
Good folk. Good honest folk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Friendly.
Some of them were friendly.
Good.
That's true, though.
Aye.
That's true. We tend to remember the good times.
Of course
you do. We forget the bad times, but we definitely, the good times kind of outweigh that, that shitty stuff.
Plus, well, you know, when you look at it as well, it's like, they put something on saying, well, the characters, that I think, I didn't answer it, because I thought, well, really, we were all characters.
Mm-hmm. Sort of kind well, of I saw that.
And I went our own sort of way, like, we're all characters.
Aye.
And I'm not saying our own way in that.
Mm. I'd definitely, it's three characters sitting right here with you stream, you know. Terry, I still remember, I told you before, Tony, I still remember I was sitting on the fucking the church pillars, you know, those two, the gates, it's named, and you could look right down in Balhousie. And I used to see, well, we all used to sit. You remember the pillars? We see them.
Oh, I remember them.
They were like brick built and a kind of concrete plinth on the top. And you'd sit there, and you were walking up on that baseball gear, red and white baseball gear that you must have got for a Sparky's shop or something. Definitely want it to be different, you want it to look cool, be cool, and get that recognition, identity, eh?
There's a wee shop in Glasgow there now, it's no fun, it's got all your old American stuff
there. Yeah, I love it.
Kind of a wee shop one.
Mm-hmm. How would you summarise, how would you just say, this is what Muirton was?
You were never bored in a Muirton man. There was always something there.
Always just something there. Computers and mobile phones around the back there.
But at the time, we were working class, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And I never had any aspirations to be any better. I mean, you knew folk had a better lifestyle and had the holidays, had the clays, had this and had that, and my dad's had a car and all the rest of it. But we accepted what we were given.
I admit it's the people we have to be in.
And I couldn't imagine a better place.
I believe that, I feel that way. Mm. I don't think, you knew folk that maybe went, like even in school, I never went to the ski trips that classmates did, skiing was just a form of fucking thing, or the government, even though they only went up the road up the A9 or whatever. But there was never any ending.
The only childhood holiday I ever had was a necessity, was to go and visit my granny and all that. If my mum was an Italian, I wouldn't probably never have been abroad as a kid. Because none of you guys were.
No, never. I was abroad as a kid.
Aberdeen,
we could never afford that.
I remember when my dad lived in Glasgow, I went through to the Kelvin Grove, they used to have the indoors amusement.
Yeah.
And one of the big, was a big museum in it as well.
Yeah.
Mind doing that, but that was just Glasgow. Staying with my dad at the weekend.
On Broth?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Red Lion?
Red Lion,
What's that?
Caravan Park.
Oh, right.
Just in the rear
end. So, didn't hear much, but had everything we needed, I suppose.
And you made, if there was nothing to do, you just made something for you to do.
Same with tin flutes and everything, shirts and ties, like we could go shopping and any, we could call it second-hand shop now, but we could buy recycled stuff, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Still look cool.
Yeah.
Whether it was a fucking hat or a coat that used to belong to some old guy in Second World War. We take it, we put it on their hat, and they would look cool as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Barry. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice, that was good. Cool.
Thank you for sharing so much.
I'm glad to get it off my chest for all.